Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
It is Patriots Monday, and we are at Gillette Stadium after a win number 6 on the season, 5th in a row for the New England Patriots. You can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. We will talk about that with Boomer Esiason coming up at 8. Patriots win, where they rank in the conference currently, and everything else NFL with Boomer coming up. We are also going to get to They Said It in about 15 minutes or so, and we will definitely discuss what Justin Fields said about lying in his closet this week to get a good cry in.
He's being vulnerable with the media.
Yeah, vulnerable.
Yeah.
And it's good. That's
nice.
Is that an attractive thing?
Yeah,
when it comes
I think
to men who are vulnerable?
I think that it takes a strong man to say what he said.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll get to that coming up. We have leads left. Including this one from Curtis. Curtis, good morning.
Good morning. By the way, great job, Shine. A little cell phone there coming out with who are you after the Vrabel comments. I noticed it. I'm sure Ken enjoyed it as well. Dave Roberts, we all love him, right? You can never buy a beer in Boston again. The steal in game 4 will go down in history as one of the great moments in Boston sports. Well, he's had a rough weekend. So the Dodgers got the split in Toronto, and they're heading back to L.A., and the traveling party of the coaches, the players got off without an issue. The coaches and the 400 other people traveling with the Dodgers on 3 other planes were held on the tarmac due to customs issues before returning to the United States. And Dave Roberts said, and I quote, "I don't want to get too far into it. I just arrived 30 minutes ago. There were some delays. I don't know if there was intent or not. But, man, the international stuff was a bear." So, obviously, you have the Reagan ad, you have the tariffs. I mean, the U.S. and America's hat in America have been adversarial for months now.
Right.
But Dave Roberts has since been forced to walk that back because it is the American customs that you need to deal with when departing Canada.
Right.
You don't deal with Canadian people when you leave Canada. You go to America.
Right.
You've already been through customs. That's how you get to Canada in the first place. So the rivalry is brewing between the Dodgers and Blue Jays as it pertains to international travel shenanigans.
But in this case, you can't blame Canada like the film. It wasn't intentional at all.
But
all
I feel like we can mostly. But yes, no, you cannot blame Canada.
All right, Curtis, thank you. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. You know who loves Josh McDaniels? Everyone but Shime. Oh. Every single person but Shime.
Are we doing the same lead here? Go ahead.
I don't know. After the game yesterday, when anybody on offense was asked about the success, the first person that they named was Josh McDaniels, whether it was Drake Bay, Pop Douglas, a few other guys. But let's listen to Hunter Henry in particular.
Yeah, man, credit to Josh. Josh made a lot of... I mean, great calls. And then, you know, the guys just went out there and executed. Just felt like everybody needed to do their job. That was one thing. Just focus on your job on that play. And, you know, obviously Trevion was able to get loose a little bit, make some big-time runs. Guys were, you know, finishing. And that was big for us coming out of the half.
This question wasn't about Josh. It was about just coming out in the second half and the offense being better than they were in the first. He immediately gives the credit to Josh McDaniels. Mm. Drake May did the same exact thing. I think that we all take for granted who we have in Josh McDaniels. I mean, not everybody, but some.
Yeah.
And all the players not only play for him, but respect the hell out of him. Mm. So that I just felt like it was so clear listening to everybody on offense speak about Josh McDaniels yesterday. That was the one person that they wanted to give all the credit to.
Well, let me jump frog in here, as you would say, and it goes further than that. And based on the exchange that just occurred between Mike Vrabel and our guy Scheim, I thought I would share Drake May actually talking about Josh McDaniels and what he means to this football team.
You know, his demeanor in halftime was, you know, he could tell that, you know, he was calming us down and knew that we were good. And, yeah, just classic, you know, Coach McDaniels drive. I mean, he's just, you know, dialing it up and, you know, multiple times and getting guys open and really making it easy for me. So, you know, he's done his whole life and, you know, I feel like he's, you know, put on the surf to be an offensive coordinator. So it was, it's fun to, you know, be in the headset with him.
Oh, put on this earth to be an offensive coordinator, making it easy for me.
That's kind of a shot in a way, though.
I feel like maybe he deserves a little bit of credit for the success of the quarterback, Scheim. What would you say?
Greg, I would ask the question, where were those toss plays for the last, like, 8 weeks?
Well, you saved
them. I've been calling for them for 7 weeks.
He didn't need them.
He was saving them, and once they worked, he ran them 47 times.
We couldn't run the football until last week. What are we doing? Like, what? I thought that some of the designs of the run plays were great. I loved them. I loved the play, having both running backs play action, flip it to the other. I loved the speed option with Drake May and Ramondre Stevenson. Like, I thought the design of them were great, but, like, where has that been for 7 weeks? The run game has been blast left, dive right for 8 weeks. It's been insane. But now, finally, we got something. I'm not complaining. I thought yesterday was great. Loved it. I'm happy that they have a great relationship with their offensive coordinator. Just feel like we might have been able to use a couple of these. Didn't have to use them all, but maybe one or two of them, I don't know, the last 8 weeks. That's all.
But they won five in a row. I mean, I just we saw Alex Van Pelt last year, mm-hmm. one of the great boobs of all time, like a total zero. Who didn't even know Marcus Jones played offense. Like, the guy was an abomination. And now you see this offense with a capable coordinator, and you have the MVP of the league.
Right.
I'm not mad. Everybody freaks out that I think – I just think that Josh McDaniels is overrated.
It's not everybody's fault, Scheim, that you made an ass of yourself saying he sucked, that they then go back and tell you that you were wrong.
I didn't make an ass of myself, Curtis.
Yes, you did. You've been going off on a guy that's been doing spectacular.
He's been fine. Curtis, the play calling has been mediocre at best. Stop.
What are you talking about? How is it mediocre?
Holy smokes. Curtis, he hasn't run a toss play like this in 8 weeks.
Oh, my God.
That's the whole point. Like, I don't know. Have some diversity to the play calls. Instead of on first down, why are we running HB dive every freaking time?
Well, how is it working?
A lot of times it's not great. Like, Curtis, do you realize the rushing offense has been terrible up until, like, last week? Those plays have been bad. The great plays are the plays where Drake May is attacking down the field.
Can I have five guys that are not currently head coaches that you would want over Josh McDaniels as the offensive coordinator?
Sure, I can make a list for you in the break. That's easy.
See, I would look at, like, you know, every coordinator has those bad plays. You're like, oh, why'd he call that? Oh, I don't get that decision. I look at more of Josh and the relationship that he has with the quarterback to get the quarterback to understand the game.
Yeah, and if that's your point, Wiggy, totally agree. You're absolutely right. Clearly, Drake and Josh have a great relationship. I'm not going to argue that at all.
And Josh's ability to get Drake to understand, okay, here's how you go through your progressions. Here's what we're looking for in this specific play. Here's where we're trying to take advantage of the defense. There's going to be like, Josh, why'd you call that play? And you got a little bit of a head scratcher. But overall, when you look at the offense and you look at the flow of the game and you look at where the quarterback is and the quarterback strides that they're making, and that's why I think when you start to look at this passing game, you see so many multiple guys week in and week out, as you could see Drake May is starting to understand his progression and where he needs to go.
And he certainly figured out a way, at least yesterday, when mm-hmm. it comes to your guy, Travion Henderson, mm-hmm. to get him involved in the game in a way in which they feel comfortable.
Right, right.
You know, and I guess you can complain about how many times he went to the toss or the flip or whatever, but
it was working, so why wouldn't you?
Right, and I think then you'll build off of that, right? You'll build certain things off of that. So, I mean, you know, Shyam and I, we agree that at times maybe I'm like, why Josh called that? It's a little bit of, but we disagree. I think the reason why Drake May is performing at the level he's performing at is solely because of Josh McDaniels.
Mm, okay. You two would disagree, but I think. Mm-hmm. But thank you. Your lead this morning, Whitney?
All right. So my lead is this, and I was kind of thinking about this. I had a couple different leads, but I wrote this down when I heard yesterday that the Patriots were actively looking for trade possibilities when it came to their defensive end position. And there's two guys on the list that I just want them to go all in on. Number one on my list is Kayvon Thibodeau with the New York Giants, a team that has kind of struggled, and they're probably going to move on from him anyways at the end of the year. And the other guy would probably be Trey Hendrickson, who in Cincinnati, you could kind of see the direction that they're going in. I just think if you look at yesterday's game, and nowhere near are they in the same league as a Myles Garrett, but just the disruptiveness when you have a guy like that. And Harold Landry started the season off pretty good, but I think if he had somebody opposite him that teams would also have to worry about, I think it's just going to make your defense better. And by making your defense better, especially your pass rush defense, it's going to make your secondary job a lot easier. And you're starting to look like you have a pretty good defense anyways, but just adding to a very good defense because you start to see like, all right, we're going to need this defense, especially we're going to need that pass rush late in the season, especially against teams that we're probably going to see in the playoffs with the quarterbacks that we're going to have to face.
So if they are going to do something before Tuesday of next week, that is your number one need.
Yeah, that I feel like right now that's your number, because your wide receiver position has been solid. I mean, we've all been, and myself included, like, man, if you can get this guy, if you can get this guy, great. But they've been solid because of the way that offense has been playing. But your pass rush has kind of been I know they had 5 sacks last week, but they only had 1 yesterday. And prior to that, I think they might have had 4 in 4 weeks. When you start to see it, I think that's the one area where I would like to see them definitely add.
I mean, A.J. Brown didn't play yesterday, so it sounds like they want to move him.
I don't know. They were saying hamstring, but who the hell knows? And
is it as bad as J.J. McCarthy's ankle? You see that video where he was out with an ankle injury and he's doing jumping jacks on the sideline?
No, yeah. I didn't see that one.
One of the guys got tackled into him and he jumped up like he was perfect.
But that's your number one. That's what you would like.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I love the wide receiver if you could get it. But if you can't get the wide receiver, this would be right up there on my Christmas list.
All right, Wiggy, thank you very much.
You got it.
Do we have a list of those who have some experience in the NFL who differ with Shyam on their opinion with regard to Josh McDaniels? Because I can add somebody to the list who's listening to the show right now this morning.
I would love it.
How do we feel about the great Matt Light?
Won
many Super Bowls here.
A brilliant guy.
Protected the blind side of the GOAT.
One of the great core members of the first 3 championships.
Okay. I'll just read the text. Poor Shyam. He's not very educated.
Oh man, that's hurtful.
Football educated.
Right. Well, I mean, White did go to Purdue.
He did. Very smart guy.
Sorry about that.
Couple of Boilermakers.
I'm cool. I'm good. I have my opinion. I don't really care what anybody else says, NFL or not.
Like you might.
Nope. Curtis, I don't at all, actually.
Not even Matt Light.
Nope, I really don't.
So let me ask
you guys are the one that keep bringing this up and like keep like trying to like bash me for it. I don't care. I really don't. It really doesn't matter to me. I think he's overrated. You have your opinion. It's fine. It doesn't really matter.
So let me ask Shyam this: what is he seeing what do you see from Josh that you don't like that we're not seeing, where you feel like he doesn't deserve as much credit?
Yeah, I think the play calling has, like I said, I think the play calling has been mediocre.
Meh.
Mediocre, Greg. It's exactly what I literally verbatim what I said about 5 minutes ago, okay? Keep up. You're right. I don't care. But you guys seem to care a whole lot, which is insane.
Just say you care.
I don't.
I care when
Courtney, I'm not the one. Hold on. Whose lead was this? Your lead and Greg's lead were the ones that bring it up. I don't care. I don't. You guys keep bringing it up. So, of course, I'm going to give my opinion because that's what you're asking of me.
It's okay to change your opinion, though.
Changed my opinion on a lot of things. I'm not going to change my opinion on Josh McDaniels.
But you realize that up until the point you change your opinion, we will continue to bring it up and wonder why you haven't changed it yet. That's how these things work.
Cool. That's great. That's fine. But when we're running on like every first down and on the goal line, we're like, yep, we're going to run a draw or a draw on 3rd and 3 that goes nowhere because we can't run inside and we haven't been able to run inside all season long. Still can't. It's terrible. It's so bad, and yet they insist on doing it. And finally, yesterday, as I pointed out in our text chat, as soon as we get a toss, I'm like, look at this. It's a miracle. A toss play and a run goes for 10 yards. It's a shocker. It's not like anybody has been calling this for like 7 weeks. That's why I get frustrated, because he's an overrated play caller. He might be really good. He might be a really good quarterback's coach. Good for him. That's great, and I'm happy that Drake May has that, but the play calling is mediocre at best.
Okay. All right, well, those are our leads.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
Supply. T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at tmobile.com.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
A new season of Survivor means a new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we break down the game like nobody else can, from how the season is built to why the players make the moves they do. It is the ultimate companion to the show. So if you love Survivor, I think you're going to love On Fire. Follow and listen to On Fire with Jeff Probst on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stevenson is the back on 3rd and goal. Toss. Catch made. Diggs has a touchdown. Stephon Diggs, his first touchdown of the season.
High noon. Jones and Keith. Patriots Monday here on WEEI. Nice to get Steph Diggs into the end zone.
Definitely.
First time in a Patriots uniform.
Yeah.
They ran it to him the play before. Thought he was going to get in. Looked disappointed he didn't get in. I heard after the game, I think Vrabel said this. Maybe it was somebody else. I'm just trying to remember who brought it up. Maybe it was May. But I guess they were starting to give him some crap, all the other players who had scored this year. Guys on defense, guys who had gotten in the end zone more than Steph Diggs. So he's starting to hear it a little bit. He gets out there, gets in the end zone for the first time for the Pats this year. Although it was a relatively quiet day for him, all things considered.
Yeah, no, it was. But still, you're like, it was a matter of time. He was going to score at some point. He's been good for him. But that's the other thing that sort of jumps out about the Patriots offense is the different guys that can lead the team in receiving and the different guys that Drake May seems to have a good rapport with. Like, very clearly, he and Kayshon Booty have good chemistry. So does he and Steph Diggs. So does he and Hunter Henry. I'd put Mac Hollins on that list now,
too. I think if there's a play to be made, I remember one play Hollins hasn't made this year, and it was New Orleans, the 3rd and 27 or whatever it was up the sideline, where people wanted a flag to be thrown, maybe, maybe not. Other than that, I feel like if there's a play to be made, Hollins is going to make it. He's very, very solid, yeah.
Well, and it was funny, too, because the first pass to Booty, he drops it, and you're like, all right, maybe this won't be one of those like 93% completion percentage days, because it would hit him right in the hands, and he dropped it. But he He turned it around, had the big 39-yard touchdown catch later on in the game, and Drake May still completed whatever it was, 18 of 24 passes, and was super efficient.
Yeah, so May, incredible again. I'm reading here from Mike Reese. Drake May has completed 75.2% of his passes, 15 touchdowns, 3 picks. That's the second highest completion rate through the first 8 games of an NFL season.
I mean, it's stupid, the stuff that he's doing.
It's according to ESPN research, the only quarterback who's been better through 8 games, Drew Brees in 2018, minimum 100 attempts.
Okay.
May's deep ball accuracy, you mentioned the booty touchdown.
Yeah, is off the charts.
4 for 5, 135 yards and a touchdown on throws, 20-plus yards in the air against the Browns. And again, that's the Browns defense.
Browns defense is nice.
So I think these should carry more weight than New Orleans, Tennessee, Carolina, etc. He's now completing 75% of his throws on at least 20 air yards this year, the highest completion rate by a qualified quarterback through 8 games since ESPN began tracking it in 2006.
All right.
So, like,
pretty good.
Every week there's stats like this with Drake May. I could give you a ton of them. We've already told you about the 3 touchdown passes in the third quarter. First Patriots quarterback to do that since Brady in 2018. 200-plus passing yards, 100-plus quarterback rating, and 7-plus games played, or done it 7-plus games in a row, I should say. It's Mahomes, it's Brady, it's Manning, it's Rodgers twice. That's the whole list. Like, it's incredible the level he's playing at. And again, this week you can't just say, oh, it's a bad team. It is a bad team. But it's a good defense for Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he produced, especially in that third quarter yesterday.
No, the stat this week that stands out the most, the one that you mentioned there, is the most consecutive games, 200 pass yards, 100-plus passer rating within a season. In NFL history, the only 3 other names are Aaron Rodgers, who did it twice in MVP seasons, Tom Brady, who did it in 07. We all watched that one firsthand.
Yeah, that was a pretty good year.
One of the greatest quarterback years ever. Peyton Manning in 04, also an MVP. And then Patrick Mahomes did it most recently in 2018. Actually, Rodgers did it in 2020. But Mahomes did it also in an MVP season in 2018. And he did it 7 times that year, Mahomes. So if Drake May does it this week, it'll jump him up over Mahomes, and it'll tie him with those other guys. Aaron Rodgers did it 12 straight games in 2011. But that's insane, because Brady and Mahomes are the 2 best quarterbacks of all time. Peyton Manning is
arguably third. I think I would put him 3rd over Elway. I'm sorry, I probably have him after Montana. I take that back.
Yeah.
But, like, fine, he's 4th. He's top 5.
Yeah.
And then is Aaron Rodgers a top 10 all-time quarterback?
Aaron Rodgers is, yeah, for me.
He is. So
is not Drake May's doing that stuff?
So, right, we're like, is Drake May the MVP? Yeah, probably. He's playing like a top 10 quarterback.
Historic MVP.
Of all time.
Right, yeah.
How he's playing right now.
That's when you know you're good, when you're not even being compared to other 2025 quarterbacks.
Oh.
You're being compared to the 07 Brady season.
All due respect, I saw Alex Smith, I think, was on Get Up this morning. He's like, he's playing like the best quarterback in the 2024 draft class. I'm like,
yeah, but dude, we're past that.
No crap. That was like a discussion a month ago.
Yeah, we're done
with
that.
In Boston. Like, of course he's playing
the
best.
Wake me up when Jaden Daniels plays again. We're like, right now, we're way past that.
How's that even a debate at this? He's playing like a top 10 all-time quarterback right now. Yeah. That's the kind of heater he's on.
That was like, for a while, I remember Tom Brady. It was like, is Tom Brady better than like Peyton Manning? And then eventually, like, yeah. Like, is Tom Brady better than Joe Montana? You're like, yeah. And then I was like, is he better than Belichick? You're like, is that a quarterback? You're like, I don't know. Like, is he better than Jordan?
Right,
you're
is
like,
he better
wait a minute, why does he play the same sport?
Is he the Michael Jordan of his sport is what you eventually had to do.
That's what happened.
Which, like, turns out the answer was, yeah.
But that's literally like, that is like, is he better than Bo Nix? I'm like, yeah. I'm ready to say that. He's playing better than Bo Nix.
I'll take him over Spencer Rattler.
He's a little bit better than J.J. McCarthy, who we may never see again. Actually, he might be back this week.
He might be.
Yeah, he might not be. He might also not be.
We'll talk.
But it's comical how good he has been.
Yeah.
We mentioned like the MVP conversation, which is legitimate. I mean, we're halfway through the year. The team is 6-2. So that's going to put you on a short list. Look at the best records and the quarterbacks. Automatically, you're going to look at those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he's putting up the stats that he is, these consecutive weeks with 100-plus quarterback rating, the over-the-top completion percentage, which should be given even more credit than it is, considering how many chances he takes down the field. We had a caller last week. He's like, he's kind of a game manager. And I'm like, not really. Not even.
So Drew Brees threw 8 games, the only quarterback more accurate, minimum 100 attempts. The way Brees threw versus the way May is throwing, I mean, Brees was a check down Charlie, to use May's parlance.
I don't know if that was a Kamara year or a Jimmy Graham year or whatever, but still, like, Drake May is taking chances down the field.
Yeah.
And as much as we like the receiving core, right? Like we, it's gotten better. We went into the year kind of worried about it. And Steph Diggs has been healthy. Booty's been really good. This isn't throwing to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. This isn't throwing to A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. This isn't throwing to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. So to me, it makes Drake May look even better because these guys are fine, right? Like they're maybe better than we expected, but he is elevating the play of the receivers, which is what you see from the elite of the elite quarterbacks.
100%. 617-779-7937. If the Browns defense, which is playing at a really high level, can't slow down Drake May and the Patriots, who can't? We can get into that coming up. Meantime, though, Bob in Londonderry, who have been very positive, wants to knock us down a few pegs. Go ahead, Bob.
Come on. Not today, Bob.
No, I was just calling because you know me. I'm always somewhat on the optimistic side, but I will agree. Things are great. They look good. My only question is this going to turn out to be like our past Celtics, meaning I had said that the only reason they won is they played nobody, and it's become very obvious that's what happened.
Well,
what's going to happen if and when the Patriots start playing some real teams?
Okay, well,
if they do, Bob, maybe there is nobody to play.
Bob, they have played one, and they beat them. It was Buffalo.
True. That is true.
Well, so I don't know. So what happens when they play them? They already beat them.
I'm looking at the Super Bowl odds, mm-hmm. and Buffalo's in the top four. So, like, if you want to go like that, you know, sort of like college football, like strength of schedule or strength of victory type of thing, there's only three teams above Buffalo that I guess you would give credit to as, like, that's a good win, right? But, like, the Chiefs, Lions, Packers, Bills, and then toss in the Eagles. They're the top five right now. I guess those would all be considered good wins. You have one of them. You only played half the season, and we knew they had an easy schedule. That's why we took sort of, like, the matchup within the matchup, and that was Patriots offense versus Browns defense. If they won this game 6-3, we'd be like, hey, they won, but elite defense they can't score on. And then so it wouldn't feel the same as it does today, where in the third quarter they just lit up the Browns.
The Bills have made the playoffs six straight years. Their win totals starting in 2019, 10-13, 11-13, 11-13. So that's a good team. Now, if you want to say that's their only good win, fine. Maybe you give them Carolina. Maybe you don't. Carolina got smoked by Buffalo yesterday.
Yeah, but they're 500, right? So, like, it's not. I wouldn't put it in the same bin as Tennessee and New Orleans.
No.
You know, Carolina's better than
it's
those teams.
Somewhere in between an actual legitimate good win against Buffalo and the dregs they've been playing.
Yeah.
They also played Pittsburgh, who feels like they're coming apart, and they lost that game.
They did.
But that's another quality team they played. Maybe that makes his point. There aren't going to be a lot of cracks at quality teams this year. But that's been the case since the schedule came. Like, we've known that since the second the schedule came.
Right, that was one of the reasons why I think a lot of us were optimistic on a big win total for this year. But they did play at Buffalo. So even though that's the one game we keep pointing to, it's on there. So, like, if that game was later, and say it flipped with, like, Atlanta, and they were 6-2, and they were about to play Buffalo, and the other win was in Atlanta, you'd be like, I don't know. I don't even know how this game's going to go. I'd be a lot more nervous. Like, I think there's a reason why most people are as confident as they are, and it's because of that game.
Well, and even
and then
still,
following it up, right? Like, did not, like, no let up after that game.
Correct. Yeah, they haven't lost since. So, look, I thought maybe the Bengals game would be hard on paper. Burrow's out. The Ravens look very different than we expected early on. They've already beaten the Bills once. The Bucs even are super banged up. Yeah, I thought the Giants game in a couple of weeks might be sneaky kind of difficult.
No Malik Nabers, no Cam Scottaboo.
They've both been knocked out.
That game's over.
So, like, I mean, anything. Even it's gotten easier since the schedule came out. The Patriots are better than we thought, and their schedule somehow has gotten easier. And I'm not saying that as a complaint, by the way. I'm just telling you, if you're waiting for them to face good quality opponents, it's going to have to happen in January. We're probably not going to know until January.
So I will give, I mean, Tampa Bay.
That's a real
is
game.
A good, they're 6-2.
Yep.
Do you think Tampa Bay will be favored in that game?
Yes.
I do too.
In Tampa, yes.
So it's not like you're looking at the stretch ahead and you're like, oh, they're going to be favored in every single game. Like, no. They'll be favored this week, or they are favored this week. Was it 4.5, whatever it is, at home against
Atlanta? I haven't even looked. Is it already?
I think it might be.
Okay, that sounds right.
The Jets game, obviously, at Cincinnati and the Giants. Those are all the games, in addition to Tampa Bay, before the bye week. So, yeah, Tampa Bay still is going to be a tough game. Regardless of who they have playing, that's one where if they do win, you got to give them credit for it.
Yeah.
That would be their second best win.
Here's something I would give May.
5.5 this weekend.
5.5.
Oh, 5.5.
There you go.
I still kind of like them.
Me too.
Yeah.
Here's something you got to give May credit for is bouncing back from the early pick, which was ugly.
Yeah.
I don't think you saw Schlesinger. Next thing you know, the Patriots, that didn't actually lead to points, but they were already down in the game. So you thought maybe it would be a long day, but May and the offense bounced back after the early pick.
Yeah, just bouncing back, you know, through early interception. And we talked about all week kind of just what they strived on, their defense, getting their offense in good positions. And, you know, looking downfield and, you know, forgot the guy in front of me could jump, you know, so he picked it. But, you know, nice play by him. But just battling back from adversity, you know, this is that league. You know, one of the best players on the edge and, you know, maybe the best player in the league on the edge. So just battling back and continue to, you know, run it and play action and boot and just try to keep the defense off its trying to, you know, be unpredictable on offense. And I think Coach, you know, called a great game and, you know, good to, you know, handle adversity and come out of halftime and, you know, score three touchdowns in the third quarter was big.
Okay, so let's get to McDaniels in a moment. But in some ways, the way they started and then kicked it into high gear in the third makes it more impressive. It wasn't just they're rolling, they're unstoppable. They dealt with some adversity. They got past it. And then they still rolled 32-13. So in some ways, that is more impressive. You don't want to excuse the pick. But you knew he wasn't going to go the whole rest of the year without throwing an interception. They're going to happen. And after he threw the pick, he played immaculate.
Yeah, he did. And I also wonder if he did it a little bit on purpose, Jones, because Tom Curran believes he made a deal with the devil, Satan, as it were.
Yeah.
If he ends the year with only two interceptions, you're going to be like, wait a minute. Maybe a bit of an eyeball raise. Maybe an investigation. Maybe Pablo Torre's on the case. He's like, maybe he did sign a deal with the devil. You got to sprinkle in a few more picks to be like, all right, he is mortal. He does make mistakes. Something bad can happen because it was getting too good. You're flying too close to the sun.
I thought this was going to be like your Aroldis Chapman take where you're like, just get one out of your system.
No. No, he knows that he doesn't need to. He won't throw a pick if he doesn't want to.
Got it.
But you got to mix in one every once in a while. He threw it right to that guy.
He really did.
He made the joke. I didn't think he could jump. He didn't need to. You threw it right at him. Like, that was a terrible throw. But, I mean, that was a game where he got sacked six times. And every time he lines up, he knows that Myles Garrett is about 2.5 seconds away from hitting him. Like, every time. And for him to still have that composure overall, to throw for as many yards and touchdowns as he did, to run when he saw the opportunity to run. Like, he had an awesome game. And I'm with you. It was both sides kind of feeling each other out. It's 9-7 at the half. You're like, this is an ugly game.
That was the exact game we expected. That was the exact game right down to the Browns opening drive. Yes, that's the exact game we expected. And then it flipped on a dime in the third
quarter. Flipped on a dime. And that was the only way the Browns were going to win was the way they played in the first half. Limit field goals. They even missed a field goal of their own. Like, what they needed was if they hit a field goal and if Borregales missed one, 10-6 at the half, they're like, hell yeah. But the Pats had the lead, and then they were just great. And the defense helped them out with a really short field, but they had two drives of over 75 yards in the third quarter alone. And that whole time they're doing that, you're like, the Browns' offense isn't going anywhere. Like, so the whole team's going to have more confidence at that point because, you know, as soon as you get the ball back, you're going to have a chance to score and you don't have to really worry about the other team scoring on you.
617-779-7937. How much credit yesterday for Josh McDaniels?
I think a good amount, you know, and I know this has been a big topic all around, and I think there is some truth to just Drake May being really good. And, you know, he needed a good coaching, but, like, he's really good and maybe could have figured it out. He has a professional head coach, which helps the whole operation of it. But Josh McDaniels is calling plays, and he sees how it's going in the first half. He sees what a menace Myles Garrett is. Not that you needed to see it to believe it, but, like, you're out there and you're like, all right, this is what we're doing and this isn't working. So then they started running some different stuff. And I'm not even talking about, like, the double pass thing. I'm talking about the way they used Henderson, the way they gave Pop Douglas the ball, the way they even ran, like, a speed option with Drake May. Like, they ran a few things that they weren't doing in the first half. They didn't do a ton of in the first seven games. So I'll give McDaniels credit for that. He's a big reason why the third quarter was the way that it was.
So, look, I said if they could get the running game going against Cleveland, and they do it 2 weeks in a row, it started last week against Tennessee, and it continues against Cleveland, I'll give McDaniels credit. Mm-hmm. And I think he deserves credit for that. I think the way they were utilizing Travion Henderson, and I guess Scheim is like, well, they should have been doing this all along. Maybe he has a point there. Or maybe they saw something against Cleveland where you're using their over-pursuit, their aggressiveness against them, or he saw something that they felt like they could exploit in this matchup. So getting the running game going and getting Henderson involved, and the fumble wasn't ideal, I get it, but getting him going, it, for the first time he looked explosive. And you're like, that's the guy we saw in the preseason. We have not seen that in a regular season game until yesterday. That's where I personally would give McDaniels the most credit. I think he deserves credit for the way Drake May is playing.
Mm-hmm.
I just wouldn't have him ahead of Drake May himself. Like, McDaniels gets a lot of credit from the McDaniels mafia for taking Mac Jones to a Pro Bowl as a rookie. It's like, oh, well, you know, he got Mac Jones to a Pro Bowl season. You never hear that about Van Pelt and the coaching staff here last year, and I don't think they deserve a lot of credit for it. I think May got to a Pro Bowl, number one, because they have a million alternates, just like they did the year that Mac got in, and number two, based on his own talent level. So the kid is exceptionally talented. McDaniels deserves some credit for that, but most of the deep throws, I feel like, are more the brilliance of Drake May and his ability to hit those plays. And I do think that double pass is overrated. You know, you don't design.
Well, you got your quarterback smashed. Well, that 19 yards.
You don't design design a double pass and use that up on tape for other teams to see it. You don't use that up for 19 yards. Like, you know, a little more than a first down. You use that for a 50-yard back-breaking touchdown is why you do it.
Right.
And they almost got Drake May killed on that play on top of it. So, look, I think this was one of the better weeks that we've seen out of McDaniels. I've been hesitant to give him credit. I do think he deserves credit for this week, specifically the run game and specifically getting Travion Henderson to start running. The question is Vrabel going to hold that late fumble against Travion Henderson? Will that continue against other defenses, starting with the Falcons this week, which is another strong defense? Not that you would have known it based on the way they played this weekend right. against Tua and the Dolphins. Right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
A new season of Survivor means a new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we break down the game like nobody else can. From how the season is built to why the players make the moves they do, it is the ultimate companion to the show. So if you love Survivor, I think you're going to love On Fire. Follow and listen to On Fire with Jeff Probst on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm actually with my new favorite quarterback of the New England Patriots. He's by far just my favorite, like through the roof.
You're not with me, so
yes. No, I know I'm not with you. That's why I want you to say hello to my new favorite quarterback of the Patriots. Say hello to Drake.
What's going on? Hey, I know he's lying. You gotta listen. I know he's lying.
That was from Fox pregame show. Rob Gronkowski was on field with Drake May. They had a little chat, and then they FaceTimed in the GOAT. The GOAT to see the kid on FaceTime.
So we're just actively tampering on national television.
No. He was FaceTiming his friend slash Fox analyst.
There's another side of that. Complete the resume.
Remember the 30 for 30, Brian Bosworth and the Boz, two different people. Tom Brady on Fox, different person than the owner. So you just got to differentiate the two.
That'll hold up in a court of law.
I don't think it will.
Oh, you're talking about... Oh, Dan, are you talking about Las Vegas Raiders minority owner Tom
Thank
Brady?
Thank you. Somebody said it out loud. Yeah, love it. Gotta love the rules just don't apply to Tom Brady. How about that?
617-779-7937. How you feeling about Drake May? And it's not wrong, some of the stuff that was said in the longer cut of that little interaction on FaceTime, where Brady joked, if I had had some of the abilities this kid had, imagine what I could have done. Because Brady didn't. That's just the reality. There were certain limitations to his physical ability, Fitzy, but if you married up Drake May's physical abilities with Tom Brady's work ethic and mental
acuity and ability to get rid of the, all of those things, you basically would have the perfect quarterback that ever walked the planet. And Gronk's not wrong. If the Patriots had Tom Brady with a deep ball like Drake May has, their offense would have looked a little different. Because you remember, other than Randy Moss, there were a lot of ebbs and flows for 20 years of people kind of bitching about Brady's deep ball. He would miss guys deep sometimes. And that was always seen as sort of the hole in his game, is the deep ball. So right now you're seeing Drake May throw the deep ball as well as anyone. 617-779-7937. Before we get to his teammates, let's work in a couple phone calls here. Let's go to Sam in Myrtle Beach. What's up, Sam?
How you doing today?
Great.
And I'm not surprised at what Drake May's doing. I grew up in this graduated high school in the same town that he grew up in. Know a good bit about his family. Don't know him personally. But in August of 24, and it's somewhere on YouTube, you can look it up, I called into Patriots Unfiltered. And I said, you guys have no idea what you have in Drake May. The Patriots don't even know how good this kid is. And I told him, I said, he throws the best deep ball that I've ever seen. I watched him for 2 years at Carolina, and I saw him make plays that nobody else was making. And I told him to protect him, not play him until the second half of the year. But I knew before he ever went to the NFL, and I also told him that he was the best quarterback in the class.
Thanks for the call, Sam. Yeah, he's starting to enter that conversation, and obviously the injuries and regression, the predicted regression, the predictable regression of Jaden Daniels is playing into that, factoring into that. Yeah, there were a lot of people that loved Drake May. That's why he was a top three pick. That's why anybody who really had a, in my opinion, accurate assessment of the quarterback situation in that draft in 2024 knew there were three quarterbacks that were going to go at the top of the draft. And then it was the others and how much you liked the others and the order of operations for them. But there is no doubt that Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May all had the talent and what it took to be top three picks for the NFL. It's just that was the reality. Now, you had the third pick. Did you get lucky? You know, if you had had the second pick or if you had had the first pick, would you have taken Drake May? You know, I don't know. I don't know where that all would have gone. You took the third guy because the third guy was available, and I think we're all quite happy that it played out that way. The Bears, on the other hand, the Bears might be looking at this and saying, huh, we probably should have taken Drake May, huh? He seems like he's got – I don't know. I don't know
well,
how
maybe
they feel.
Ryan Poles shouldn't have put on the tape and laughed at it.
Correct. And that's where it gets weird, but – I mean, Drake May was super talented, super productive. I go back to it. Everybody wants to pretend that he was like a one-year wonder. Or he didn't really play. He's Mitchell Trubisky. He's this. He had 5,000 yards of offense his second
junior.
To last year before he lost receivers and coaching and different things. And he didn't fall off the map. But he was not as good the following year, which happens a lot. Lamar Jackson.
Josh Downs, I think. He lost some of his guys.
Go watch Lamar Jackson's career at Louisville and tell me about how sometimes guys flash and splash, and then it kind of peters out, and it can get a little, because they are now the guy, and you know, things around them aren't quite as good as they were, and like things happen. But no, it was obvious to most who watched that Drake May was a truly unique and elite talent that the Patriots were getting. Now, that said, I go back to what we said earlier. There is none of us that saw this. I don't care if you live in Myrtle Beach and grew up next to Drake May. You did not think he'd be rewriting Tom Brady records like week 5, week 6, week 7. So there's a happy medium between the two. We saw it coming. We didn't see it coming this fast, Fitzy.
No, there's no one who could have possibly foreseen all of the components to his game, like the Voltron of deep balls and short passes and reading defenses and running and evading pressure in the pocket. Everything that he needs to do, he is now doing at a like 5-year veteran level. By far, not only just the best offensive player in his own team, I mean, he's a top three offensive player in the conference right now. It feels like I thought Josh was going to, my big thing before the season was don't tell me that it's time to start evaluating Drake until Halloween. Cause I wanted him to get half a season of Josh McDaniels offense in his system before he could start to like really gauge and grade exactly how his learning curve was going. Well, it's Halloween Friday, and I'm here to tell you, he passed all the tests. I think he can start taking advanced classes, and he's an A student.
Dark and Roasty, or Dark Roasty, however it goes in the Twitch chat, says, not including Bo Nix in your discussion is wild. No, it isn't. I don't think it's wild at all. Bo Nix is good in the National Football League, really good. He's putting up good numbers. He's winning games. He's doing it. I don't think he's as physically gifted as Drake May, and I don't think it's really all that close. He's a good quarterback. He's not a great talent. And those two, like I just said it, I don't think Tom Brady is physically as gifted as Drake May and those three guys that went atop that draft. They were more physically gifted. Now, all the other stuff that goes into it, and I also do think, now this is leveling out a little bit, Bo Nix is with Sean Payton. And it's the perfect offense for him. And I think that was the perfect pairing of those two guys. And I think that's why Sean Payton picked him, because he also thought it was the perfect pairing for him. And it's played out that way.
I think Bo Nix could still succeed elsewhere. It's just that Sean Payton might very well have been perfect for him. I don't think there's a system in the NFL where Drake May's talents wouldn't apply.
And that's why Bruce Arians a couple weeks ago said, my favorite quarterback in the draft was Drake May, because over the history of football, guys built like Drake May, that can throw like Drake May and run like Drake May, I think he said play. That plays historically. It has always played because there's so few of them. It's kind of Josh Allen and John Elway and that mix of talent and ability. And that's why a lot of guys saw that. So Bo Nix is having a great start to his career. But Bo Nix is not as physically gifted as Drake May. No way. Let's go back to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Jonathan in Londonderry, New Hampshire. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, something just occurred to me. In the draft last year, we didn't tank the last game, and everybody was so depressed when we didn't tank it and get the number one pick.
Yep.
And if we had tanked that game, we would have been jumping for joy with the number one pick.
Yep.
But everybody in the country was like, the number one pick is a kid from USC. The Pats are going to draft that kid. And what happens? We don't tank the game. We're all depressed. And who falls in our lap that no one expected? This kid from North Carolina, who was going to be a much better quarterback than Jalen Williams. So it's like, The football gods are looking over New England when that happened. But don't you agree that if we had gotten the number one pick, we probably would have taken the USC kid?
All right, thanks for the call, Jonathan. So your years are a little off. That was last year that they could have had the number one pick, should have had the number one pick, didn't get the number one pick, ended up at four, take Will Campbell. The year before, it wasn't that scenario. So it's a little bit different.
They won on Christmas Eve, Andy. That was the year.
Right.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as clear-cut as the final game against Buffalo. And I don't know who they would have taken. So that's a different discussion. You know, that's a little bit of the Jason Tatum discussion where Danny Ainge goes, I got the number one pick, but I want Jason Tatum. Oh, you want Markelle Fultz? I'll trade you the number one pick, and I'll take Jason Tatum at three and get the player I would have taken at one. I don't know how that would have played out, but the football gods are indeed looking down upon us because much to the chagrin of the you people crowds in the 31 other NFL cities, the Patriots have one of the best quarterbacks in football again. And that really has to piss people off in, I don't know, Cleveland, for example, where Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, they drafted two.
I'm guessing my God.
They don't have one.
I listened to some portions of the 92.3 The Fan, our sister station, in Cleveland's morning show, and including Daryl Reiter, great writer, who was on the Six Rings pod on Friday. The meltdown they were having over how bad their offense is, how like the 32-13 score didn't even really tell the whole story of how lopsided yesterday was and just what a disaster it is. Like, paid one quarterback a few years ago, traded the franchise, drafted two quarterbacks, and they have none. You guys, I hope everyone listening understands it. Like Andy said, it doesn't work like this all the time. And in other markets, they are suffering while the Patriots are succeeding. You love to see it.
617-779-7937. How much are you indeed enjoying the Drake May experience? Do you have any concerns that this may be an aberrational run here, just a little statistical fun run, and that the clock could strike midnight and this could go by? Up next, though, we do need to get into the supporting cast, because Drake May is not winning alone. The defense is making plays. The offensive cast around him is making plays. We even got Travion Henderson with some burst runs around end, some outside runs. I think there was a pull and pin mixed in there for Ted Johnson to get him rolling. We need to talk about the supporting cast up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Things are
great human being. I think he's a good quarterback who soon to be a great quarterback. I like how he's grown. You know, it's nice to be a part of his journey. I hate to be on this end of it, but it's nice to see how he's leading his team. He's helped them rebuild into what they are now. So, in a way, I'm proud of him, and I'm happy to see his success.
That was Browns defensive end Myles Garrett after his up-close and personal 5-sack performance against Drake May. And guess what, Myles? If you hadn't taken the $160 million bag this offseason, maybe you could have seen Drake May up close and personal from the winning sideline, but you took the money. So I don't want to hear about your bitching about winning and losing and maybe wanting to be on the... If you hadn't signed that extension, Fitzy, who's going to have as much cap room as anybody in football?
That would be your New England Patriots next season, I believe.
Yes, indeed. And they, I am sure, would be willing to talk to you, Mr. Myles Garrett, about joining their team because some people believe edge rusher is one of the biggest needs they have. But you took the bag, so you will stay in Cleveland. You get the bag, and you get the bad quarterbacks that go with it as a member of the Browns. So sorry, not really, actually. Let's go real quick before we get to the phone lines, Fitzy. I want to go to the poll that we posted today at Jumbo Heart, at WEEI Afternoons. I said, who is your non-Drake May first-half MVP for the Patriots this season? Non-Drake May. And yes, I got ahead of the curve because technically the midway point of the season isn't until halftime next week.
The 17-week season kind of just screws everything up, so don't worry about it.
So the options I gave were Stephon Diggs, Robert Spillane, Kayshon Booty, or other. Please reply with name. Fitzy, who'd you vote for?
I voted D, other, Milton Williams.
Milton Williams is the MVP. I think he is a worthy candidate. I like him for one reason. I always like when the guy that is supposed to be really good is really good. Like when you hand him $100 million and he just comes in and plays like a $100 million man, that's fun. Like that, like yeah. I think that's hard to do. It's why I've always said I think Richard Seymour might be the greatest Belichick draft pick ever. You needed to nail that in 2001, and you nailed the hell out of it. You drafted a player who went to the Hall of Fame, who was the stalwart member of that defense, and I think that's hard to do. Like, yeah. Anybody can take a flyer on Tom Brady late and then go, oh, he's much better than I thought, or I would have taken him much earlier in the draft.
There are a couple other Belichick picks in the first round that I know we busted his footballs for some bad first-round picks later on in his career, but he kind of nailed especially Hightower in 2012, and Vince Wilfork was no slouch.
Yeah, but they fell to him. I always think the higher you pick, the harder it can be in a way because you can't screw it up, and that's what I respected about that pick. But anyway, Kayshon Booty is leading the voting right now, Fitzy, for non-Drake.
Kayshon May. Yep. Booty is?
Non-Drake May Patriots MVP midway, wow. 63%. It's not even really that close. Second is Stephon Diggs with 23%. Robert Spillane third with 11%. And other so far has gotten 3%. There is definitely a Williams vote in there. There's a Campbell vote in there. No. And the person actually says bad week to make the argument for it. But I think you can make that argument. You know,
Marcus Jones, any love for him in there?
I think that's a bit, he's not listening, Fitzy, so unless you're trying to butter yourself up to him, he's having a really nice year, but I don't think you can argue that he's your MVP.
Kayshon Booty and his 5 touchdown passes is the non-Drake May MVP of the team thus far?
Thanks, Fitzy.
That's what people are voting for, Fitzy. I don't give you the results. Like, I don't create the results. I just throw the question out there and let the people share their opinions, and that's where it happens to be right now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Hey,
it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
A new season of Survivor means a new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we break down the game like nobody else can, from how the season is built to why the players make the moves they do. It is the ultimate companion to the show. So if you love Survivor, I think you're going to love On Fire. Follow and listen to On Fire with Jeff Probst on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.